Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Jan Jaffe, and I'm your host today on the Life Coach Radio Network, which is part of Blog Talk Radio. I am delighted to be here with you today, and I'm especially excited today to be working with two of my favorite co-hosts on a topic of utmost importance. As I mentioned, my name is Jan Jaffe, and I'm a graduate of Northwestern University, from which I hold both my bachelor's and master's degrees. I'm also proud to be an IPEC-certified professional coach, Energy Leadership Index Master Practitioner, and a core well-being dynamics specialist. I was privileged to enjoy a successful career as an international opera and concert singer and voice and masterclass teacher, which was cut short by traumatic brain injuries. The TBIs, as they are called, drastically altered my life. I lost language for 6 weeks and was thrilled after 4 months when I was finally able to walk with the aid of a walker. Through a very long and difficult recovery, I discovered many things. What it is to lose oneself, definition, and purpose in life and feel totally lost, that there is great strength in vulnerability, that there is great opportunity and challenge, strengths I had never known I had, the true meaning of resiliency, and that I am very good at picking myself up, dusting myself off, and hurling myself forward. With Forward to Success, I am dedicated to helping professional women achieve optimal success, realization of their potential, and passion, purpose, and well-being in every aspect of their lives. I can be contacted at info@forwardtosuccess.com. When disaster strikes, we can often find comfort for ourselves or others with the reminder that as long as we have our health, anything is possible. Good health is our most precious commodity. But what if we are suddenly faced with a diagnosis which tests us by making us face our own mortality? Today, I am thrilled to be joined by my two brilliant colleagues, Gina Costa and Kathy Aquino, who are both not only expert coaches, but also highly versed in the world of cancer as caregiver and survivor. In today's show, we are discussing steps and strategies to manage and navigate the journey from diagnosis through treatment and beyond recovery to maintenance. Our show today is entitled, How to Thrive When Faced with a Cancer Diagnosis. And now it is my great pleasure to introduce my co-hosts. Kathy, please tell our listening audience a little about yourself.
Hi, Jan. Thanks very much. I'm so happy to be here with you and Gina today. I'm Kathy Aquino, owner of Courage to Lead, and I'm a certified coach, and I offer coaching and consulting. I help people who are looking to maintain their health or are already combating a health challenge or working with a loved one who is. I consult to help people become familiar with the benefits and drawbacks of Western medicine and complementary care and how to advocate for themselves or a loved one. I offer coaching to help clients work through their negative thoughts and emotions that affect their health or that develop while they're struggling with health challenges. I have a master's degree in education, 20 years teaching health and advocacy, and life coach training through the highly respected Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching. I have worked not only as a paid advocate, but also with family members, including my husband as he battles cancer. I also offer coaching for small business owners like fitness trainers, yoga teachers, doulas, etc., who are not profitable or feel overwhelmed. Through coaching, they learn what unintentional messages they are conveying and how it causes them to attract a certain type of client and create unnecessary challenges. I help them review their communication with clients and business setup and see where they may be able to make changes that reflect what they really want, so they can concentrate on making their clients happy and satisfied. I've seen how devastating not leading in your own choices can be, and I am passionate about helping people regain their vitality and a sense of control in their health or their business. I can be reached at my website, Courage to Lead. The address is courtolead.com, or they can contact me at Kathy with a C at the same email address, courtolead.com. Thanks, Jan.
Thank you, Kathy. And now, Gina, would you please introduce yourself?
Absolutely. And I have to say, Jan and Kathy, you know, by way of your introductions and just hearing your voices, I am completely filled with energy at this moment. And I'm elated to be here. And Jan, you definitely brought up vulnerability, which is a huge something that we can really find our greatness in. So my name is Gina Costa, and I am a breast cancer survivor. I've also been a caregiver, and my caregiver role sort of also kind of catapulted me into being an avid fundraiser. So I've been fundraising for the last 13 years for women's cancers. I held a bachelor's degree in psychology. I'm also an IPEC certified trained coach and energy leadership master index practitioner. I work with women diagnosed with breast cancer and caregivers and help them cope step by step with the emotional and physical challenges that they experience so that they can regain confidence and control of their lives once again. Cancer diagnosis, you know, and or being a caregiver is not an easy journey. And so many emotions come up, obviously, around the cancer experience. But as we go through that, and there are so many stages, diagnosis, going through treatment, and then, Jan, as you said, kind of transitioning back to life. And so much comes up, not only around the cancer and the cancer diagnosis and all the emotions and changes that go along with that, but since this is a big change and life-altering event, so many other things come up about the way that we live our lives. So that's what I also help my clients to do. I'm dedicated to new beginnings after cancer. It's not a cliche that my website is newbeginningswithgina.com because I feel like I have really, in many areas and challenges of my own life, every step of the way, created new beginnings from those challenges. So I'm very positive about facing the experiences, and that's how I hope to lead and teach my clients and give them tools to cope, you know, with this diagnosis and just going through the whole process. So again, I'm elated to be here among you all, and I feel as a trio, we have so much to offer to everyone out there listening today.
Thank you so much, Gina. Can you remind our listeners how to contact you?
Sure. So my website is newbeginningswithgina.com, and they can reach me at gina@newbeginningswithgina.com, or they can pick up the phone and call me at 917-882-2402. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter. All the information is actually available on my website.
Thank you, Gina. Thank you so much. And I would like to take this opportunity to invite our listeners to call in with any questions or comments throughout the show. We welcome your calls and contribution to the discussion. The number here is 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. It is said that one's most precious commodity is one's good health. At some time or another in our lives, we have all heard people say after experiencing some loss or something gone wrong, "Well, at least I've got my health." Or after receiving a lovely gift, "Wear it in good health." Good health is considered our most precious gift in life. With it, it is assumed that we can weather and bounce back from most anything that comes our way. But without it, what happens when we lose our good health? There is no getting around it. One of life's very great challenges is illness. There is little in life that is so life-changing as a serious health condition. It can alter our entire definition of ourselves. And a cancer diagnosis? There is so much heavy weight attached to one of these. Fear, facing mortality, anxiety, reassessment of one's entire life, stigma. From your experiences as both caretakers and cancer survivor, what were your feelings during pre-diagnosis and upon diagnosis? And what are some ways in which caretakers can best serve the cancer patient? Kathy, would you like to answer these questions?
Sure. Ours is actually a relatively new situation. This is just, we're just in our first year experiencing this together, myself and my husband. So it's, we're right in the thick of things. I have had other people I've close to. My father actually died of cancer when I was young and a teenager, so I wasn't that young. I remember things. And then a close cousin that thankfully survived a harrowing experience with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And that was quite difficult. But this is new. It was as of last September of 14, that we went to the doctor. He hadn't been feeling really well. And the bottom kind of blew out because we had no idea anything real serious was happening. We went into the doctor who took a simple blood test, sent us over immediately to emergency because he said he couldn't do anything. We then got news that his cancer, his kidney was failing. No idea. He was so anemic and his kidney was bad, so he was put in the hospital immediately. And he was there for 4 days, and they ran all kinds of tests and couldn't really find anything. So he went home. They continued more tests for several weeks and, you know, and started moving towards the possibility that it could be cancer. And, you know, we were very appreciative that they didn't jump on that first off, and because he's only 52, so he's young. And so anyway, it just progressed along until test after test started confirming things. And we, you know, I'm sure everybody's experience is similar in the fact if you get a cancer diagnosis, it's terrible. You're not expecting it necessarily. But his was even worse because the kind of cancer he has is at best manageable for a number of years, but it's always fatal. He has multiple myeloma, which is a cancer of the bone marrow. And so that was a bad enough a diagnosis, but then when he received that, it was the worst that you could have. He was as far along in the disease as you can be. And then a few weeks later, as we went and got a second diagnosis, we got more bad news. Not only did he have those, but he had also advanced into plasma cell leukemia, and he had the tumor cell that most people have to fight this, he doesn't have. Somewhere along the line in life, it got damaged, and so he doesn't have that. So he has basically a very, very aggressive form of a very difficult cancer. And I guess as far as what we felt, at first it doesn't really feel real. You're kind of you're in shock. And then you know, the bottom really kind of falls out when you start to grasp, okay, this really is true. And and since it was not even something they could describe as not curable, it was pretty bad. So it was a hard thing. And the thing that I thought was the most, that I learned the most through that is that people respond and absorb news like this at different paces. And so I was able to grasp onto this and move through some grief pretty quickly and then on to, okay, what can we do about this? And that was important because my husband is a slower processor, and it actually took him months to really absorb this fact. And I think that if you are blessed as a caretaker to be able to move into a different place quicker than the person that's got the diagnosis, it can help you by trying to stay level-headed, get your questions answered quickly, because you need more than one diagnosis in a cancer diagnosis. You need to see more than one person for sure. You need to start researching as quickly as you can, get more opinions, and find an expert. And if the person is still in shock, that's pretty hard for them to do, and it's very hard for them to absorb that information. So that's what a phenomenal help the caregiver can give to the person that's received the diagnosis.
Well, wow, Kathy, that's a lot. And you have dealt with it amazingly well, because I know you. And I would love for you to share with our listeners what else you did. I know I'd love for you to speak about some of the things that you did with homeopathy, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure. Yeah, I am. For a long time, I've treated my family with alternative means, and I'm quite well versed in it. And I also see, I consider part of my healthcare team a lot of different alternative care people, and I've seen them for many years, and I trust them. And so they were people, as soon as we got our diagnosis, we shared things with them, and I was fortunate to have that already in place because they began making calls literally all over the world and helping us. And I always use homeopathy in my family care. I use it in my personal care all the time. I'm well-versed with it. And it's a different sort of medicine if you've never heard of it. It doesn't have side effects because it's so low dose. People that aren't familiar with it will poo-poo the idea that it doesn't work, but it really does. And it was able to help me as a caregiver with the grief that I was experiencing and help move through some of that in a way that if I hadn't had that and I was only concentrating on diet, nutrition, and trying to focus on, you know, maintaining a good diet to get all the nutrients I needed just to support myself, it wouldn't have been as effective. So that was a really big help during the time where I needed emotional stability, and it was so difficult. My husband was also helped with some other stuff that she gave him just to help through his own emotions because he was suffering more from shock. I was suffering from a longer time from grief. And so that's what we did with that during that early period.
Mm. And I know that you had also said that that your husband was much more, was better supported through his chemo with the homeopathic support, that his health was, he was stronger. And I believe you told me that he, when the doctor asked him if he was experiencing nausea or some other side effects, his response was something, well, please share that if you remember, because I remember when you shared it with me, it was adorable. It was really sweet.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I don't remember the exactly adorable thing that he said. But basically, he was kind of in shock because it is quite dreadful, the list of side effects from all that, because you're on many different chemotherapy and other kinds of drugs, depending on, you know, the kind of cancer you're combating and stuff. And the list of side effects can be endless. And most people are familiar with a loved one or a friend that's been through it, and it can be quite dreadful for people. The side effects sometimes are what ends up taking a person out. So, mm-hmm. the doctor was pretty surprised that he was not experiencing these. And, you know, there's no way to know. My husband has a basically strong constitution. He has no other underlying disease, which is a blessing because most people that get this disease are average the age of 69. He's much younger, so those were helps. But yeah, the means of supplementation and homeopathy was able to keep him. It's hard to know exactly what did it, but I do know that he is not experiencing what other people do. As far as the, you know, mouth sores and nerve paralysis and stomach digestive disorders, et cetera, the list goes on and on. And he actually feels better now than he did prior to the diagnosis because the cancer count has come way down with the use of the chemo and the traditional drugs and supplementing with the other stuff that I do to help him. So, yeah, he's been very fortunate. We feel very blessed about that, and his quality of life is very good, and we're both so happy for that.
Well, I'm sure all of us are very happy for that. That's a wonderful, wonderful story. And what I do remember you telling me was your husband's response to the doctor when he asked if he was experiencing any. Do you remember that?
Okay, yes, now I remember it. Yeah, the doctor, you know, he asked him if he was experiencing these things, and my husband says no, and the doctor was so puzzled, he kind of reached over and leaned and touched him. He says, "Are you sure?" And my husband said, "No, why? Am I supposed to? Is something wrong?"
So, I mean, that just speaks to the power of a great caretaker and love and great nutritional and homeopathic support. Kathy is very modest, but she is incredibly versed in all of this, and she continues to research and work and do everything she possibly can. And she's quite thorough. So I have to say, in that sense, your husband is very, very fortunate to have you. Before I go on with switching this over to Gina, we do have a caller. So I would like to check in. It is, your number ends in 1544, and I have activated your mic. Hello, phone number ending in 1544.
Hello, this is Alan from New York. Hello, everybody.
Hi, Alan. Hi. How are you?
I'm okay. So it was fortuitous. I encountered Gina on a Facebook chat, and which prompted me to hop on this call because it's timely and relevant for me. So I'm in a little bit of a state of sort of confusion and denial, I guess, which is probably the best way to sum it up. My mom, who is elderly, early 80s, was recently treated, had a malignant polyp removed from her colon. And we all were very happy because they seemed to have gotten everything out, and aside from just some mental sort of delusional issues that she was having from hospitalization, everything went pretty smoothly. But we just got the call the other day that there's been a spread into her lymph nodes and that she's got to start chemotherapy, and I'm just really I guess, as I said, I'm just sort of a little bit in a state of denial and a little bit of confused because I really don't know what that means. And my spouse is a physician, so of course, he kind of talked me through it, and I understand it's stage three, and the survival rate is, I guess, pretty good, but none of those studies that I was reading say anything about a person in their 80s and what chemo might be like, what that experience might be like for her. But I guess more is just like, how do I, from a caretaker perspective, how do I show up for her, and sort of put my own anxiety and fear over to the side and just be there for my mom. And I'm scared. It's like, I don't know. It's just hard. I feel like this is I'm feeling like I have to be very secretive about the whole thing, and sort of like not talk to people about it. And also here I am on a radio show, it's easier to talk to, sort of in this way for me than to speak to like friends or family. I don't know, just sort of honoring her, her privacy and all of that. So I don't know. I gave you a lot there, so dive in.
Well, first of all, I just want to say... Oh, okay, well, who wants to take this? I was just going to say that I want to thank you so much for your vulnerability and for calling in and sharing with us. And I just want to really, really commend you for taking that step. And also what you're speaking about speaks to that stigma that I had mentioned earlier around cancer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now I want to throw it over to my two expert coaches when it comes to this field, whichever one of you wants to take it.
I'd just like to take it for a minute. And then, Alan, I'm so happy that you called in and so happy that we connected. And there are certainly no mistakes and synchronicities
and
all around
speaking,
us.
And we're still speaking on Monday. No, you're not off the hook.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I want to share later, I just want to share a couple of thoughts, and then I want Kathy to share her thoughts. But then when I share my story as a caregiver and a survivor, I'm hoping that will kind of help you out a little bit as well, just to kind of, because so much of this, as a survivor or a caregiver, there's so much uncertainty here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what I heard you say was that you had, obviously you love your mom and you're concerned, and it's a shock, like it is to everyone else. And that's perfectly, normal and valid. So everything that you're feeling is real. Now, you spoke about that fear, about talking to others about it and things like that. One thing that I want to suggest to you is to process that in the way that you need to process that. In other words, for me, I had a fear as well, but then I got to a certain comfort level where I felt comfortable sharing it. So I think that's what you have to, and I also believe that a lot of the fear in expressing it to others, and it's completely valid and normal in expressing it to others is, as we know, as coaches, once we speak something out loud, it's real.
Exactly.
So I just want to tell you to be present with your feelings. Allow yourself to process all these emotions. You know, just let them be. Just go through them. That's the way we experience them, and we let them pass. The other points that I just want to raise real quickly, because I want Kathy to jump in here, is just be there and support your mom. And I'm going to talk about that in terms of my mom and how I supported her. That's not going to be the way that you do, but you need to support her in whatever way that you know from your heart is the way that you need to support her as her son. My other emphatic message to you, because I didn't do this, or I had circumstances where I had another situation. My other message to you is to continue to take care of you in the process, and don't lose yourself during this whole process. And you can do it.
Yeah.
So I just want to turn that over to Kathy now. I don't want to take up too much time. But that's, you know, that's the stuff that jumped out at me.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, I want to thank you, too. This is Kathy for calling in, and I totally can understand the place that you're at right now, all the feelings that you're feeling, because those are exactly the same feelings we had, and I think it's perfectly normal at this point. And, you know, it's a process like anything else. So, you know, there's a couple of things I can think of with your mom. One is... and I had to learn this. I think it was probably the hardest lesson I learned with my husband, is because we're all individuals and we love this person, so we want the best for them. And we have to support them in the way that they need, not the way that we think that they need. And and so and I kept thinking that my husband would, you know, to need to quit work and do the whole Zen thing and throw his whole 180% of his person into, you know, getting well. And that's not him. He wanted to continue work. He wanted to continue life as normal. And that was hard for me to swallow. I just, you know, because it wasn't how I would deal with it. But I supported him, and I eventually came to see that his way was the best way for him. And so, you know, that'll I'm sure be how it is for you and your mom. You know, maybe the choices she makes will not be the choices that you would make. But to honor her and support her best, you need to, you know, learn what she needs. And it's potentially possible, since she's in her 80s, you know, you don't know how the chemo is going to go until you do it. And, you know, and we were terrified before we started. We're just terrified. Yeah. So if you're feeling any of that, I can understand that.
Yeah, well, she's small, you know. She's small and she's...
Well, they'll take that into account, you know, of course, her size. But she's older.
She's older,
and, yeah, she's older. And it was
funny when I said to her the other day after, you know, we sort of got through the surgery, I said, you know, so Mom, maybe we want to look at your, you know, your eating and look at the foods that you eat. And she's like, that's not, because it's not going to, you know, it doesn't come back. Like, they got it, you know. And then it's like, okay, well, there you go. Clearly they didn't get it all. So.
Well, and, you know, and she's probably a smart woman. She probably knew that somewhere, but it's how we cope. You know, maybe she didn't, but, you know, it's how many people would cope. And, and you're right. You know, the diet would be a really good thing, but a lot of older people have trouble with that, too, because they're really ingrained in their habits. But I would, just to give you some hope with the chemo, the chemos, there's just a wide range of choices available, and they have come a long way as far as palliative efforts to make things easier for people to deal with the nausea and all that. So, so it's quite likely it won't be as brutal as you've heard.
Is hair loss, then, is that like always a given? And
it's often. I mean, my husband lost his. It's coming back now, which he kept saying, "Is this normal?" but and for a man, I think that's easier, you know. But because he was half bald to begin with. But I think losing your eyebrows and eyelashes are worse. But it's not 100%. But that's quite often
happens.
Yeah, and so you know, there's that emotional thing, being a woman and helping. Mm-hmm. You know, finding somebody to help relate with that. But if she can't, if she's not getting the care that you feel like if she starts going through the chemo and it's really brutal on her and they're not addressing that, always go find a second opinion, because there may be another doctor out there that can treat it and can do it in a more gentle way that is effective.
Right.
So
right.
something
Thank
to
you.
Bear in mind. But
yeah.
also the thing, when you mentioned her age, to honor her wishes as far as go as far as with it as she wants to go, you know, because it's her
right.
choice and her life. And that may be very hard as her son, but,
yeah.
You know, ultimately, you know, to honor a person, you have to honor their choices in
right.
all ways.
Right,
so.
Right. Well, this has been very helpful. It's good to talk about it. I am definitely in that state of, like, moving from denial to acceptance. It's happening faster than not. Yeah.
I was just going to say, I don't want to interrupt you. I just want to make sure. I wanted to add my two cents. I actually had been a patient myself for a couple of years at Sloan Kettering. And my ex, we had been together 18 years. And several years after, we were no longer together. He had gotten very ill. And he was in denial about it and didn't really go to a doctor for about a year and a half. And then he finally had an appointment. He had some kind of test done. And I went with him when I had gotten together with him for coffee. Hadn't seen him in over a year. And I was astounded by how he looked.
Yeah.
I was devastated. And
yeah.
I asked, can I go with you to the doctor? And I did. And we found out that he had 3 masses in his liver. And so it took many weeks, because he was in total denial about what that meant, and took many weeks before I was able to get him to go to Sloan Kettering. And he has pancreatic cancer. And I have seen him. He has the type that Steve Jobs had, and it's slow growing, but he's at a much more advanced stage. And it's, you know, it's difficult to watch someone go through this.
Yeah.
Granted, it's not my mother, but this was someone that I had been very, very, very attached to.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I've discovered, and then also my current boyfriend got diagnosed the end of last year with thyroid cancer and had surgery in January, and now we're in the process of moving forward. So I have a little bit of experience in this, and also every male and a couple of the females on one line of my family has a certain kind of lymphoma and has died from it. So there is, I'm connected with it, not as deeply as these two ladies, but I do have, unfortunately, my connection with it. And one of the things that I have found when we are overwhelmed by our loved one's diagnosis is, first of all, you know, the awareness of what is going on, and awareness in the full sense, not just self-awareness, but awareness of everything, which is what these ladies have brought up, getting the right doctor, is it the right medical treatment, just focusing on that, and then acceptance, which I know you're working hard on. And then the next thing is empathy, you know, something that we know and learn very well as coaches, empathy versus sympathy.
Yeah.
Sympathy still is about us, really. Empathy is about the other person, putting ourselves in their shoes, keeping ourselves out of it. Compassion is wonderful, and it is part of who we are as coaches, but empathy is the true gift that we can give to the people that we want to serve with our love. And in that sense, as much as we can, putting on our coach hat, because what that is about true empathy and really serving someone else, which is what we really want to do when we are helping a loved one. And of course, as I believe, I'm not sure if it was Kathy or Gina or both, self-care. We have to take care of ourselves during this whole period. But by focusing our compassion and the sympathy onto, you know, into empathy, really, transforming it into empathy, we can help them so much more. I don't know if that helps at all. But I felt like I was falling apart thinking about what's going to happen,
right.
that the pancreatic cancer diagnosis, even though it's the neuro, they call it the neuroendocrine tumors, which are slower growing, it's still a death sentence. And it's still, you know, and he's going through, he's had 3 surgical procedures. He has monthly treatments, and now he's facing chemo and I don't know what, and it's very hard on him. And he had this surgery, this last procedure, this past weekend, and I realized I needed to go to this retreat, this business retreat, which I know you know about, and I needed to take care of myself. He has family here in the city. So, but my, you know, what I might have done in the past was in some ways turn it around. So in some ways it was about me taking care of my need to be there. Does that make sense? When it really, it wouldn't have served either of us. He has other people that are very close to him. So, awareness, acceptance, and empathy, I think, are the three first steps to constantly grab onto to help our loved ones and to help ourselves. It makes us feel stronger because we're actually not in victim mode, but we're actually dealing with it. Puts us into action.
It's just also crazy because I've lost both of my in-laws in the past year and a half, and I think we got through that and we were like, okay, you know, now we can, we can breathe. We're gonna get a little break, right? I can put all the Shiva, you know, the Shiva utensils down in storage. We got some time, and hopefully they'll stay down there for a nice long time. But I just don't think I expected a cancer diagnosis and this, and you know, with my parents quite so soon. And I think at the end of the day, it's not that I don't accept that the mortality of my parents. You know, they're elderly. I think for me, it's more about quality of life, and you know, I my hope was that they'll just die from old age, and you know, the body just wearing down, and not, you know, and not from something, you know, painful or debilitating or anything like that. So, you know, but anyway, I know I'm in good hands with all of you, and I appreciate your guidance and prayers, and thank you for the, you know, for your wisdom. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing your story and reaching out to us. We are so, it's such a gift to us, and we hope that it's been something of a comfort for you.
It certainly has. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All the best.
Okay,
all the best, really.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Thanks, Alan.
Okay, so wow, thank you so much to our caller, Alan, for calling in and sharing his story. And I want to get back to you, Gina, in just a moment. But first, I would like to acknowledge our absolutely amazing sponsor, Audible.com. Here on the Life Coach Radio Networks, we are proud to have as our sponsor, Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet, offering customers a new way to enhance and enrich their lives every day. Audible is the preeminent provider of spoken word audio products, which include more than 100,000 audio programs from more than 1,800 content providers. Receive a free audiobook with your 30-day trial when you sign up with Audible today at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. Audible.com, making listening a tool for life. And now, back to our show. So, I don't know if you can remember, Gina, where we were before that amazing, that was a fabulous phone call, and I'm still so grateful to Alan for calling in to speak with us.
Right.
So, I'll repeat if you'd like, and for our audience, too.
Actually,
I'll repeat where we were.
Okay, yeah, awesome.
Yeah, it was from your experiences as both caretakers, our caretaker in your instance, and cancer survivor. What were your feelings during pre-diagnosis and upon diagnosis? And also, what are some ways in which caretakers can best serve the cancer patient?
Right. Okay, so yeah, so that's the reason why I want to share my story as caregiver first, because just to, you know, obviously share my experiences in that and also how it affected me. And then how it allowed me or gave me the power to handle my own, you know, cancer diagnosis. So, and how many life events, you know, come into play. So this was 13 years ago that my mom actually passed away of ovarian cancer. She was diagnosed with late stage, stage four ovarian cancer. And we had had sort of, you know, a rocky relationship, but we had prior to that, you know, just come together and just really, you know, just put the past behind us, talked about a lot of stuff, and we really became best friends. So it was really at the highlight of our relationship. And then also as she got, so I think what I did in terms of her as her caretaker or caregiver was, you know, a lot of the things that Kathy said, you know, so I went with her to all of her appointments because I think, you know, she was in a state of shock. I was in a state of shock. But we always need, you know, the patient always needs that second set of ears. Mm-hmm. And for my mom, who wasn't such a positive person, I think she really, there were some things that she didn't want to hear or couldn't hear. So, you know, I had the authority to speak to her doctors to kind of get that information. So, and what I'm saying by that is, so she took the information in that she needed to take and process so that she needed to step forward. And then I sort of came in, one, just, you know, to monitor her and just be there for her whenever she needed me. And, you know, like you said, Janet, around boundaries, when she didn't want me there, when she wanted to be alone, when she wanted to be independent, you know, I allowed her to do that. But as just, and I think really just as a guiding force to be that set of ears, to go to her doctors to say, hey, look, doc, I don't think my mom can, you know, either wants to go here, nor do I believe she has to go here. But I need the whole story and what the prognosis is, because I need some information and guidance as to where I need to be a better caregiver and how, you know, I need to manage that journey. So I think for me, in terms of a caregiver, I had to kind of see the picture or how far out the picture was going to go so that I could step in to be a better caregiver. The other part of that is when, at the end, when, you know, she was getting, you know, more terminal, I was 9 months pregnant with my first child and had been divorced prior and at the happiest point of my life. And I went to my mom, one of my mom's appointments with her. She had a doctor who was an amazing diagnostician, and he said to me, you know, and she didn't know this, because she had developed jaundice and, you know, things like that. He said, I think she has about 2 weeks to live. And it kind of scared me because he was very accurate up to that point. And then I went to my gynecologist like the next day. And he said to me, we're going to deliver your baby in 2 weeks. And as it played out, so I was scheduled to have my child. My mom passed away on October 7th, 2011, and my daughter was born on October 10th, 2011. So the story behind this is, you know, it was very difficult for me because I threw everything that I had into my mom and I kind of lost myself. We had to hold the funeral until I get out of the hospital, you know, being in labor for like 27 hours. I literally came home. I put my daughter in the bassinet, changed my clothes, and went to the funeral parlor. After that, actually after the burial at the gravesite, I don't know what happened to me. And I was told, you know, my diagnosis was I was in a state of grief-induced postpartum depression. Now, obviously, the hormones have a lot to do with that, but the message that I'm sending to caregivers out there is that I think because I put so much of myself into my mom, I lost a part of myself. So I think it was a combination of that and the hormones. So anyway, came out of that about a year later, never thought I would. but with a whole different perspective. I wouldn't have wanted my worst enemy to have gone through what I did. And the opportunity in that horrific experience, because I didn't know whether to grieve for my mom or be happy for my child, and I was angry with my husband because he was happy with the baby and it was talking to my child about my daughter, and I was I just didn't know what I was functioning, but I wasn't present. But anyway, the opportunity that I got out of that, when I was finally able to come out of that emotional state, and I remember my husband saying to my doctors, "Is my wife ever going to be the same?" But when I came out of that, and I think also because I came from kind of a negative background, I just threw myself into every negative experience I have. I'm going to make it into a positive, because this was obviously life-altering and I have to live my life differently. So what I did from there, you know, just as a way to cope with my grief and to keep my mom's memory alive, was I threw myself into my fundraising efforts. And then obviously, because my mom had ovarian cancer, and that's a silent killer, as we know, and it's very hard to detect, I got very proactive in my own health. I had asked my sister to come along the same journey with me, but we're two different personalities. So I went for genetic testing, which was very anxiety provoking, but I just felt like I needed to do what I needed to do for myself to protect myself. The short story of that is I don't carry the BRCA gene. However, my sister and I, after that experience, because we come from a family history of cancer, although not genetically linked, but I believe there's other factors as well. Every ache and pain we had, we thought, "Oh my God, let's run to the doctor. We have ovarian cancer." So anyway, very proactive, then going for my mammos and paps and all that. And since I had gone for previous mammos before, and had recalls back, I went for this mammo, and it was a cyst that they were following, and they said, you know, 90% of the time this is benign, so it's no big deal. So I was just like, okay, this is fine. This is just going to be like the other one, you know, the other ones. Everything's going to be fine. And then it came back, and it was cancer. And then with that, I went up to Sloan Kettering. And originally, so I'm getting to the emotional part of it. Originally, it was supposed to be just a lumpectomy because there was just one lump. So I had further testing, which, you know, is very anxiety provoking with all the waiting. And they found out it was more than one lump. It was like three lumps. And, you know, there was no way to preserve the breast because it was, or, you know, the nipple, because it was just too close, and my doctor recommended mastectomy on one side. After speaking to her, I decided I wanted a double mastectomy because I didn't want to have to, you know, go down this road again. And that's ultimately what I chose. And it was a good thing because after they wound up doing the surgery, there were more lumps on the one side and the other side was precancerous. Getting back to my initial diagnosis, even though I had that history of cancer in my family, and in fact, I forgot to mention that my sister, I was diagnosed with breast cancer almost a year to the day that my sister was. So I also saw her go through the whole process. So again, I felt like I had seen my sister go through it. So I had a lot of tools, and I knew, you know, that it was possible to get through it. But at the same time, when I was diagnosed, I felt like my legs got cut off. You know, the anxiety ran through my body, and my immediate thoughts, you know, and that came flooding out of my mind, and my husband was in the waiting room, were actually about my kids. Are my kids going to have a mom? How is this going to affect my relationship? How am I going to take care of my kids? What about my career? You know, it's just like Kathy, as you know, all these thoughts and feelings come flooding into your head. But as I said, I think because I had had so much experience with cancer and had also obviously gone through anxiety and depression when I lost my mom, I did a lot of work on myself, and even prior to that, a lot of self-development. and forgive the expression, but when I was diagnosed on the day, we were going, my husband and I were leaving Sloan, and I remember all these emotions going through me, and I remember looking at him because I think he was shocked also. And I just turned to him in the elevator and said, you know what, Chris, F this. This isn't cancer. This is the boob job I always wanted. So my immediate reframe, I think, again, from my past experience was, let's look at what the opportunity is here. You know, I'm not going to let this bring me down. I'm not going to, you know, I need to hold on to myself. I need to get through this. So that was my experience. That's not to say that I didn't go through all the emotions, anxiety, guilt, you know, everything. Finally, you know, to a place of acceptance, but I think what really held myself together, again, was my past and, you know, the work that I had done. And probably I did a lot of things that I would not normally have done in the past, which Alan was kind of talking about. So normally I probably would have hid from everybody until I was well. And I knew when I was diagnosed that that wasn't the right thing. And I probably, you know, would have just got up after my surgeries and just did whatever. So some of the key factors for me was, number one, the first thing was I knew I had to reach it. After I got past that fear and was able to speak it out loud, I reached out to, you know, a circle of friends for support. I reached out to my children's administrators in their schools because I knew I had to give up that control. And that there was going to be a time that I obviously couldn't take care of myself, and I needed others to help me, and I needed others to make sure that my children were taken care of. And it was at that moment that I realized I needed to take my cape off and, you know, give up the control to others. And also, I think the diagnosis helped me really to reassess my life in terms of overall well-being and stress and, you know, kind of saying, like, I don't want to live my life this way anymore. This is a sign, obviously. I need to do things, you know, differently. The other thing was, so first comes the support, and then comes the self-care. Okay, so I don't just come home from the hospital, you know, with my breast cut off and, you know, go start doing chores or, you know, start being Wonder Woman. So that was the reason I got the support, so I could sit back and take the time to heal, because I didn't want to repeat my past mistakes. I knew that this was my time. I needed to take my time to heal. So basically, you know, just awareness and really, you know, feeling like you got hit by this bolt of lightning. But for me, in some ways, I feel like that bolt of lightning was a blessing because, it really helped me to reassess and relive or, you know, see how I wanted to live my life moving forward. As coaches, we know a lot of the times we live based on old rules and beliefs. And this was really my time to step up for myself at 48 years old and, you know, start to make choices for myself and what was best for me. And just to really figure out that life was to be living. It wasn't to be, you know, running on a wheel, doing a million things that weren't even necessary. So huge, huge impact on me. And hence my need and passion to serve others, because in some ways I think I feel fortunate that I had the cancer experiences in my life, because they were kind of the blocks that allowed me to walk through my journey a little bit easier. And I think sometimes people would put me on a pedestal and say, you know, oh my God, you handled that so well. How did you do that? Well, I didn't really, but I did, because I put those pillars in place. You know, I put the support in place. I had my friends. I, you know, I took the time for self-care. And you know, and my response to that was, you would have done the same thing. And I'm not, you know, a superhero or whatever, but I made a choice, and my choice was, you know, and again, I had gone through depression and from past experience. So my choice was not to quote unquote, or using a, you know, the, an analogy of, I'm going to go in a corner and rock back and forth. I don't want that choice. The choice that I'm going to make is, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to be strong and I'm going to beat this. So that's, you know, that's pretty much my message. And again, it was just a choice on how I wanted to move forward. But again, a choice that I made, that was based on my past life experiences. So I'm happy in some regard that I had those life experiences, because it really enabled me to face the challenge.
Wow, Gina, thank you so much for your powerful, powerful story. There is so much in there and so many life lessons for everyone. And just that you are a testament to creating opportunities from challenge and finding alignment with your own values and what has happened, taking these experiences that may not seem like, you know, good experiences and horrible things, but finding what the meaning is and how it does force us to make a choice between giving up and, as you put it, sitting in a corner. And this was not something that you just said, okay, I'm going to go this way instead of that way. No, it was quite a process. And you made the choice to find out, okay, how can I find meaning in this? And how do I grow from this? And what is the opportunity here? And how do I align my values with how I'm living? So I'm just so grateful for your story, as I think everybody is. And we are all so blessed to have you in this community of helping people, working with people in the cancer community, you and both Kathy. I can't believe that we are already out of time in our show. It's gone so very quickly, and we are going to continue, the three of us. I am so delighted to be able to have Kathy and Gina back on our show. It will be May 27th at noon. On the Life Coach Radio Network, and we will be continuing this discussion. There is so much more to speak about on this topic. I know that my visits, or my time now that I've had to go with people that I love who are cancer patients at Sloan Kettering, the amount of patients there seem to have doubled what it was about 10 years ago. So cancer is something that touches virtually everyone in some way or other, whether it's a family member, a friend, or yourself. So it's a very important topic that I hope everyone will listen in again on May 27th at noon as we continue this discussion. So I'd really like to thank my beautifully talented co-hosts, Kathy Aquino and Gina Costa, as well as our wonderful caller, Alan, for their insightful participation in today's show. And I'd just like to remind our listeners of the importance of self-care, priority setting, and asking for help when faced with a serious diagnosis for both patient and caregiver. I'm Jan Jaffe of Forward to Success, and it has been my privilege and honor to have been your host today. I would like to offer our listeners a free 30-minute coaching session. For more information, you can email me at info@forwardtosuccess.com. That's info, I-N-F-O, at forwardtosuccess.com. I also want to remind our listeners that you are invited to share any comments or feedback on our website, www.lifecoachradionetworks.com. I have my own solo show beginning in May. That's next month. That's my first beginning in May, my solo show, on the second Wednesday of every month at 12 noon Eastern on this, the Life Coach Radio Network. I would be delighted if you would tune in. And now I'd like to ask my co-hosts to share any closing thoughts and contact information. Kathy.
Thanks, Jan. Yeah, I can't believe how fast it's gone either. It's been wonderful talking to you and Gina, and thankful for Alan for calling in and sharing at such a tender time as he and his mother are going through. The one thing that really stands out for me is, as you said, this is going to touch so many people. And I not only deal with cancer, but overall people's health. I've happened to have spent the last 20 years as a patient advocate. I've been in and out of hospitals with couples. I've taught them how to stand up for their rights, what their rights are, how to speak to staff, how to maneuver in the system. And so if people have not ever, they've been healthy and they or a loved one has not ever had a serious health crisis, they're not really aware of how to do that. And it can be shocking. Your first time in the system and you find out you're overwhelmed with the amount of paperwork and people that you see and appointments and everything that hits you. And it can be completely overwhelming. So that's where a great caregiver is so vital to the person. You need somebody very close to you to be with you and help with that. And I'm passionate about helping people either if they're in it or even better yet, before you're in this kind of experience, prepare yourself how to go through this better, because statistics say at least a third of us are going to be caregivers during our lifetime. And with the baby boomer generation getting bigger, probably that number is only going to grow. So it's going to affect many people, and preparing yourself ahead of time is only going to help you and your loved ones. I can be contacted again at Kathy with a C, C-A-T-H-Y, at courtolead.com. That's my website, and it contains both my email and phone number and lots of information for people to look through. I so appreciate our call today, and I've really enjoyed my time with both of you today. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. Oh, wow. And I know you are such an amazing caretaker. Wow. And a great coach. And now, Gina, would you like to give any closing remarks or anything you'd like to let our listeners know before the show?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think it's very appropriate, that we continue the show, because as we know, Kathy and Jan, it is a journey, and we are going to be consistently on that journey, whether or not it's in improving our life or revisiting cancer again. And obviously, and a personal experience that I want to share with you guys and our listeners is, so, you get hit by this bolt of lightning and you realize you have to change things around. But then years pass. For me, it's 3 years. And I'm consciously aware of how I'm living, obviously, because of the experience and because I'm a coach. But I'm also seeing some old habits come up. So it's, again, that's a part of the journey and the process to hold on to really what your value is and to stay in alignment with how you want to live. So that would be my message. And I'm very happy and elated that we're going to continue this. And I'd also love to offer anyone a free 30-minute coaching session as well. You can reach me on my website, www.newbeginningswithgina.com. I am just in awe at the two of you ladies. And so happy and honored to be on this show with you and to have this experience with you. And again, to Alan for calling in, thank you so much. I think he really added a lot to the show as well. So I have a ton of gratitude for everybody, my co-host and the listeners, and everyone who's touched my life up until this point. So thank you.
Thank you, Gina. And I think you'll find, or you must know, that the feeling is mutual. I am just so honored and delighted and feel blessed to have you on the show. And Kathy, you're both amazing. And this we are definitely going on this. I believe this is going to become a series. That's been my idea all along. And so I'm delighted that you two will join us. Join me, because this is going to be quite an important topic. So I'm just going to take a moment to announce a few of our upcoming shows on the network. On this, the Life Coach Radio Network, tomorrow, Thursday, April 23rd at 8 p.m. Eastern, A New Connection of Respect, Mothers Introducing Themselves to Their Daughters. On Friday, April 24th at 12 noon Eastern, Nika Anon interviews Acutonics practitioner and teacher Ellen Franklin. Also on Friday, April 24th at 3 p.m. Eastern, What is Authenticity and How Do I Get Some? And I will be a co-host on this particular show, so do tune in. Also, I just want to remind everybody on this network, again, Life Coach Radio Network, on May 27th at noon, we will be continuing this series, The Journey of Cancer. So please do tune in to that, May 27th at noon. Now, on our sister network, the Life Coach Chat Channel, tomorrow, Thursday, April 23rd at 1 p.m. Eastern, Reclaim Your Health. On Friday, April 24th at 11 a.m. Eastern, Reclaiming Space. A lot of reclaiming shows. And on Saturday, April 25th at 1 p.m. Eastern, let me see, Career Talk with Coach Trina Ramsey, Phoenix Rising, Recovering from Career Setback. I also want to remind people or let them know about May 12th on the Life Coach Radio Network at noon will be my first solo, my debut with my solo show. That's May 12th, noon Eastern, 12 noon Eastern, my debut, my premiere of my my solo show on the Life Coach Radio Network. So I want to again thank my two wonderful co-hosts, Gina Costa and Kathy Aquino, and our caller, Alan, for joining me today and making this show a special one. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.